I'm saving, as I do every year, I'm saving most of the 9/11 conversation, new developments that crop up from time to time. I'm just saving them for 9/11. And every year around 9/11, you know, we give people a chance to sound off about it, and I don't do a lot about it in the meantime unless there's something truly startling. My own view, as I have been at pains to express over the years, is that while I don't know exactly everything, every detail about what happened, I do know that the official story is worse than Swiss cheese. And before this segment of our program is finished this morning, I will cite unreliable sources to buttress that point. Unreliable sources. Well, I'll cite the FBI. How about that? How about members of the 9/11 Commission, who they themselves say that their own conclusions were warped by being lied to by the administration. So I'll tell you some of the indisputable observations of members of the 9/11 Commission about things that they got wrong or never got the truth about on the program, and you can laugh about that all the way home if you like. In the meantime, Senator Karen Johnson is on the line with us. It had to do with that Arizona 9/11 memorial, and Senator Johnson's view as well that we've never really gotten the truth about what happened on 9/11. That was the occasion for the Arizona Republic to editorialize about Senator Johnson and suggest that it'd be a good thing if she'd go back to being a private citizen if she believes that there's more to this 9/11 story than meets the eye. I will tell you that the Republic, in its internal inconsistencies, editorialized a couple of days later about the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and said that with respect to conspiracies having to do with whether the government of the United States plotted to murder African Americans with AIDS or was seeking to destroy the African American community by introducing illegal drugs into the country, the Arizona Republic editorialized in that respect that people of good faith may differ. So some conspiracies are okay to differ about and still be a member of, in good faith, of polite societies, and some national tragedies are not fit to wonder about, as Senator Johnson knows now. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Charles.
Thank you for being on the radio program.
My pleasure.
Did you see the Republic editorial about Reverend Wright?
I did. I saw that just yesterday or day before, whenever it was.
Yeah. Greg Patterson brought it to my attention on his blog, Espresso Pundit, and effectively just days after they said you could return to being a private citizen if you're going to be delusional, they effectively said, well, as far as other conspiracies that are equally malevolent, people of good faith may differ. Why aren't you allowed to differ and other people are?
Well, I don't know. I always seem to have been a target of the Republic or some of the other papers for the different views that I hold, I guess because we just don't agree.
What was the story having to do with the 9/11 memorial, and why did it come up in that context?
Well, you know, that was a piece of legislation that came up about 2.5 weeks ago in our Appropriations Committee in the Senate, and frankly, it wasn't even on my radar screen. It was a bill that nobody had talked about, hadn't heard anything about it. And when it came up for a vote that day, after hearing the testimony, I thought, my goodness, what are we doing as a legislature even being involved in this issue? All the funds that were raised for this monument were done privately. The commission that put this monument together was a private group of people. None of them were appointed by the legislature, I think. Many of them were appointed, if not all, by the governor, and therefore I didn't feel we had any right to tell them what they were supposed to do besides the fact of our First Amendment rights.
So they proposed to put the memorial on state grounds, which is why it came before the lawmakers such as yourself. Is that it?
Well, that must have been part of it, but the fact that they were there on the mall, they got permission to put that monument there from the mall commission. And we probably appoint one or two of the people on the Mall Commission, along with the governor and some other entities. But we had nothing to do with that. Recently we had a wonderful monument put there called the Code Talkers Monument, the Navajo Code Talkers Monument. They raised all that money privately. And I thought, who would be, would it be our charge to go in and tell them what they could put on that monument? Once they got permission to put it there, it's under their purview. And I just thought it was way out of line for us to tell them, you're going to take these particular sayings off of there and leave others on.
Well, I don't know, unless you want to, and you're perfectly welcome to walk through all the 9/11 stuff and, you know, cite what you think are the most egregious sorts of distortions or holes in the record or contradictions. You're welcome to do that. My question, though, is more philosophical, and that is, what is it about the American people in this day and age in which they're willing to just, whatever they're told by the authorities, neither look to the right nor to the left, but keep moving straight ahead? What is it about Americans that's become a part of our DNA now?
Charles, I don't know, but that's very scary to me. I mean, we've been given eyes to see and ears to hear, and we absolutely don't seem to be using them today. When I watched that happen, that tragedy, on the television screen, because immediately my daughter called and said, Mom, turn the television on. And I turned on, and by then the first plane had hit, and when the second plane hit, I mean, we were just glued to the television the whole day. And I'm watching what happened, and immediately I thought, there is no way buildings like that could fall down, right, well, the way they did, like a demolition would have had a building fall. And then later, as we continued to watch, not leaving that TV for even a moment, Building 7, which never even was hit by airplanes, come down like a demolition, just right inside its own, I'm not sure how they say that, but it just was amazing to me, and I thought, this could not happen by just having a plane hit the top of those towers. That is not enough damage to make those towers fall the way they did.
Well, that's as good a case as any, the Building 7 story, and lo, after all these years, I don't think we've still gotten a credible explanation from anybody about that. We've gotten a series of shape-shifting explanations that they're replaced by the subsequent explanation next year.
Well, when you think that nearly 3,000 people were killed in the plane crashes and the collapses of these World Trade Center towers, these attacks, to me, Charles, have been used to justify huge increases in defense spending, the invasion of two other countries, and sweeping reductions in our, what I consider, cherished civil liberties.
Well, I suppose if the people did not want to avert their eyes and gaze only straight ahead, it would be one thing if the government had established a record in our generation of credibility and rectitude. But this is a country that we now know was sent to war on the basis of bogus representations, whether by ineptness or by intent, has a long record of lying about just needless things like, forcing actuaries to lie in congressional testimony about the cost of prescription drug bills. I mean, it's been one case after another. So rather than a reputation for rectitude and veracity, the government over the last generation, or even further back, has developed a reputation for irresponsibility and deceit. And therefore, all of our questions should be aired and answered thoroughly. And if they are just the mutterings of nut jobs, then, let's answer them and put them to rest. And in the sunshine of open discussion, my pipsqueak little concerns and questions, and maybe yours as well, are shown to be rather tissues and fabrics of our imagination.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Charles. I think that's very, very accurate. And I go back to, after the tragedy of 9/11, I mean, it was a year and a half before the government, the federal government, the Bush administration, acquiesced to even putting together this commission. And in my opinion, the main reason that happened is because of a group, they call them the Jersey Girls, and they were women that had lost mainly their husbands, some sons, and those women did their research. They began to really look into this tragedy. And they began to find these questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? How could this happen? And they pushed and pushed, just endlessly on the administration to please hold hearings to get an investigation going. And I tell you, it wasn't going to happen until finally the media, they pushed so hard with the media also, they got involved and pushed the administration. And then, once that happened, and do you know who the very first chairman was of that commission, Charles?
Tell me.
Mr. Henry Kissinger.
Well, ain't that peculiar now? The old master of deceit himself,
absolutely,
huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank goodness those women had done such a thorough job of researching that they called for a press conference to, you know, interview Mr. Kissinger and speak a little bit about this. And as they did so, they began to ask him about his ties with the Bin Laden family. And he was stuttering around and ended up, you know, resigning from the commission. And that's, of course, when Keene and Hamilton went in and things, you know, did get started.
Yeah, Keene and Hamilton. Well, it wasn't much better. I mean, if you wanted to get a real investigation, you should have put the Jersey Widows in charge. But even Keene and Hamilton now realize they've been badly used and misled in the 9/11 commission that they headed. Senator Karen Johnson is with us on the show. Our telephone number is 602-277-KFNX, 602-277-5369. More straight ahead. In the morning. Well, you're not going to have Senator Karen Johnson to kick around long, and it's too bad. She's been a great watchdog on things like the North American Union and all of that stuff. What North American Union, you say, Charles? Well, the one that seems to be advancing with the agreement that was secretly signed on February 14th, allowing foreign forces, allowing Canada, for example, to send troops, or the United States to send troops across the border into Canada, vice versa, across each other's borders. You didn't get a lot of talk about that, but here it is in the news. All right, our guest, Senator Johnson, and 9/11, let us go to the phones on our show this morning. Mike in Tempe is first. Mike, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charles. Good morning, Senator Johnson.
Good morning.
I've been looking at the events of 9/11 for quite some time, and I just want to applaud you for your courage of stepping forward, but I do have a question. Why now? Was it the 9/11 memorial, or was there another reason you decided to become make your views known public?
Very good question, Mike. In the past, there hasn't been an occasion for me to publicly speak about this. I certainly have spoken about it with colleagues as well as other groups of people that, you know, when we have small meetings, but publicly, the question never did come up until this particular issue came before us at the legislature, and it just seemed appropriate to go ahead and speak my mind at that time.
Well, I think that's super. I think it's a critically important question. Frankly, for me, it's the most important question facing a republic at this point in time. So I, once again,
thank you,
and best wishes in the future. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Mike. Good of you to be on the show. Alan Mesa this morning. Al, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I don't have a real question. I'm just an ardent supporter. I've been studying the 9/11 thing from the beginning as an engineer, and there was just never any question in my mind that no building can fall into its footprint like that, the way that it did, the way it was explained. So my hat's off to you for standing up, because politicians these days are, you're really playing in the sewer, and my hat's off to you for doing it.
Oh, my goodness, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm really glad that he brought up the fact that he's an engineer, because if it's all right, Charles, I would like to give you a website. There are over 360 architects and engineers for Truth, for 9/11 Truth, and they have a website at AE911Truth.com. .org, and that's A as in apple, E as in effort, 11truth.org. But they're calling for the evaluation of the evidence, and you know, they're really trying to get people to look at this. And these are very educated building professionals and people that understand these issues.
All right, thank you, Al. Good of you to be on the show. Next this morning is Frank from Glendale. Frank.
Frank from Glen, Mexico.
I'm sorry, Glen, Mexico. Yeah,
that's correct. I just wanted to ask you, I had no idea, I was down there protesting that memorial down there, I had no idea that was a publicly funded memorial. So any taxpayer that funded that you can put a memorial forever, whatever you want to do on state property, or is that the case? Or
well, it doesn't work quite that way, but when a group comes together, if they have an idea for a memorial for a particular reason, they go to what we call the Mall Commission.
Okay.
And they present their idea to them, and then that is taken into consideration. I believe it's probably voted on by the Mall Commission whether or not they would allow you to put that particular monument or memorial on the plaza there at West Boland Park.
I found it pretty offensive by the different sayings on there, like killing terrorists, create more terrorists, and a lot of hippie lefty stuff from ASU. And so if I thought the Vietnam War was a bad thing and it was our fault and all that, if I raised enough money, I could put a memorial on the state property down there?
Well, if you got the permission of the Mall Commission to do so, I suppose that you would be able to do that, because that is what they did with the with this commission.
So taxpayer, who takes care of it after that, though? I mean, somebody has to take care of that property and everything. So the taxpayers, whether they agree with that premise or not, somebody has to pay for that, which is the Arizona taxpayers. So if I was for the Vietnam War or against the Vietnam War, somebody has to take care of that property. So taxpayers are going to have to take care of that property, make sure the lawn's mowed, and things like that. I find that very offensive. It's a shame to me that you could do that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think, if I'm right, and I'll certainly check into this for you, but I believe that the 9/11 commission that put that together, I don't know what they call themselves, I believe they are the ones that have to do the upkeep on those memorials. It's not the taxpayer.
Frank, you think it's insane to make you pay for it. How about how insane it is to make me pay for a wars against people who never threatened us, had no capability of coming across the ocean and hurting this country? How about making us go to war against people on the basis of bogus information? I mean, forget the few cents on maintaining some capital landmark. How about I'm sorry to tell you, how about the trillions of dollars spent on a war that was sold to us on the basis of misrepresentations? And yes, I think you've got to call them lies. We're going to trade on our longstanding friendship with Karen Johnson to ask her to stay over for a few minutes after the news and more of your calls, too.
News, weather, and traffic. Arizona's News Talk leader. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
7:34 now, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Charles Goyette and the Charles Goyette Show. It's not exactly timely, but we're talking about 9/11 in any event. Because Senator Karen Johnson got scolded by the Arizona Republic. The Arizona Republic, which welcomes expressions of views about conspiracies other than 9/11, with the idea that people of good faith may differ in their editorial writings, they say. But with respect to 9/11, they write that the likely truth is that Senator Karen Johnson, if Senator Karen Johnson believes her government is capable of destruction of the highest order, then she's delusional. I expect a little precision and expression from paid editorial writers. Is there somebody on the Arizona Republic's editorial board who does not think that the United States government is capable of destruction of the highest order? No nation in history has been as destruction capable as we are now. It's your tax dollars at work. Karen, they have been as vague and confused during this generation of editorial writing down there at that paper as any I have ever seen.
Well, I agree, Charles. And, you know, it really confounded me a little bit to think that because of being an elected official, that somehow is supposed to muzzle me. I'm not allowed to speak out. I have no more, you know, First Amendment rights. What's going on here?
Yeah, you're supposed to. You just take your marching orders from down there on Van Buren and everything will be fine.
Well, many do.
We do know. William on a cell phone. William, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charles. Love your show.
Thank you, man.
Listen, I wanted to call and commend the senator for speaking out. I think it's excellent that we question what's going on and continue to question it. But I called because I want to add to this conversation with you. I am an ex-air traffic controller. And the 3110.65, which is the manual for air traffic control, says that no plane that's flying at high altitude cannot fly without being in the positive air traffic control. Now, that plane that flew all the way over Ohio and went back to New York should have been shot down. And therefore, are you there?
Yeah, sure.
You bet.
Okay. Therefore, over the last 6 or 7 years of my life, I've been screaming at the TV, saying, how can this happen? You know, and how come nobody questioned it? Because those planes are not allowed not to speak to air traffic controllers. And once they know that that plane is not responding to voice communication, that plane is hijacked. So, you know, I'm not an expert. Also, I want to add to this. I'm not an expert, but I did stay at Holiday Inn, and I've watched those demo movies on buildings. And those people go through painstaking efforts to make sure that that building falls on its footprint.
Right.
Because they know that if they don't do it like that, that building's going to fall over on its side.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I want to congratulate you and keep speaking out, because this is an absolute farce that's going on. And the government expects us to just sit back and accept all of that. And as an air traffic controller, I know those planes. Two of those four planes should have been shot down. And I'm going to let you continue on with the conversation. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you guys later.
Charles, he brings up a really good point, because I think most of the planes involved were absolutely off the radar screen, so to speak, for several minutes without anybody really knowing where they were, and the bases there that house our security for things like this never even called for anybody to get up and look and see what's going on, to get up in the air and follow or check or see what was happening.
Here is Richard next on the show. Richard, good morning. Yo, Richard, going once. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Let's see. It's William in Glendale. William, good morning. Yo, William. William.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I had to kind of start working while I was waiting.
You had to work.
I just wanted to commend the both of you, because we cannot forget about this thing. I don't care how many years that it's been. I mean, there is nothing but there's so many facts against it. And it's not anti-government. This is not anti-government. This is anti-people. These are people that made this happen, not our government. You know, it might be people that we supposedly elected, you know, but it's not even them. It's the people above them that are controlling them, like puppets. And I just want to thank you both, because we cannot forget about this. We cannot wash it under the rug. We have to take the power back. We have to get our country back. This is our country. I'm not anti-American.
It is our country. 602-277-KFNX. Thank you, William. 602-277-5369. Next online this morning from Mesa, Senator Johnson is Steve. Steve, good morning.
Bless you, Karen and Charles, for doing a great job.
Thank you.
Have you read the book Crossing the Rubicon?
I have absolutely heard of that, and in fact, I think I may have ordered it, but I haven't read it yet.
It's the most detailed, authoritative, and documented book concerning 9/11 that I've ever had the privilege to read. It was written by Michael Rupert.
I will absolutely read that book.
I wish everyone would. It was written in an admirable fashion, and he documents everything almost chapter by chapter.
Uh-huh.
End notes, footnotes, and case history, and whatever. And I don't know where he is anymore. I've been trying to get Charles to get him back on the show.
Yeah, we'll see if we can hunt him down, get him back on the program. We haven't had him on for a couple of years. Senator Johnson, why are you choosing not to run again?
Oh, my gosh, Charles. You know, it's 12 years that I've been down there, and I feel like most of the time I've been, you know, hitting my head against a brick wall. I'm getting older. We're expecting our 34th grandchild. I've got a lot of work to do here at home, and I really have pretty much run out of patience with the system down there.
Well, that I can certainly understand that. I'm just sorry that it'll give the Republic so much joy.
Well, I'm sure there'll be several people that'll be glad to see me gone. I do raise my voice at times and cause a lot of consternation among people down there, but you know, we've done a few things, but it's just been really, really hard. It's like pulling teeth to get anything done. I mean, I've said this many times before, but it seems like most of the legislators are more concerned about, you know, not talking on your cell phone, making a bill, legislation, to not talk on your cell phone as you go down the freeway, rather than really be concerned with what's happening. Our country's falling down around us, Charles. We're losing our sovereignty. You know, we've lost the Constitution a long time ago. We don't adhere to it at all. We don't have states' rights anymore. I mean, it's just crazy. They live in a little cocoon, and they don't seem to want to look out at all.
Max in Scottsdale. Max?
Good morning. I'm a retired airline pilot. I would like to just comment and, first of all, congratulate Senator Johnson for coming forth publicly and having the guts to put this out in the open.
Thank you.
There is no way that 19 Arab hijackers are going to coax four trained airline crews out of the cockpit. If they start slashing throats, that's more reason not to come out of the cockpit. I can also tell you that having studied airplane crashes since I started flying in 1962, there is no way that an airplane went into the Pentagon. Anybody can prove that to themselves. Just look at the video of the wreckage, and you can see for yourself. It just couldn't happen. It did not happen. So therefore, our entire national policy is based on an event that didn't happen. The people are just as dead. The firefighters are just as heroic. But we're living in a situation like the Emperor's New Clothes. We're all pretending that this thing happened, and our leaders are all backing it. You know, what are we going to do about this?
That's you're very correct there. That's a good analogy. You know, Russ or Charles and I have a mutual friend named Russ that was a previous United Airlines pilot for many, many years. And I've heard Russ speak several times about the fact that in all the years that he flew, there's no way that even with all of his expertise, he could have turned a plane in the way it was, purported to have happened into the Pentagon at the turn that was made to make it, hit in there.
Absolutely not.
All right. Thank you, Max. Good to hear from you on the show. Carolyn in Tempe. Carolyn, good morning.
Hi, Charles. I just wanted to call in and tip my hat to Senator Karen Johnson. We don't agree on a lot of things, but she proves that there are honest politicians who hold the views they hold honestly, and she's upfront with election integrity. She cares about our votes counting, and she has guts to come forward and point out the obvious. It's as obvious as someone pointing out that the emperor has no clothes. And as far as the Arizona Republic, I mean, they were front and center cheerleading for this war. And then we had the New York Times story recently that pointed out the complicity between the Pentagon and the media and spreading propaganda to take this country to war. So we know about the media now. It's a joke, and more people that I talk to know that it's a joke. They just all shake their head. Oh, yeah, I know that, the media is a joke. So that would explain why the Arizona Republic, if you're complicit in taking the country to war, then the last thing you want to do is for people to find out that 9/11 was that the official story is a lie, and they helped promote it. So my hat's off to Karen Johnson.
Well said, too, Carolyn, that everybody should know now the media is a joke. When it mattered, when it counted, the national news media was asleep at the switch.
Carolyn, I really, really want to thank you for your kind words, and I have to tell you that This is very personal too with me. I thankfully did not lose anybody in that tragedy of 9/11, but subsequently we had one of our sons that had to go to Iraq and serve there for nearly 14 months. And I can tell you that was extremely painful. This war is an abomination, and I am just so upset that our government, now we're hearing drumbeats to go into Iran, and I'm just so fearful of what is coming down the pike on us here.
Hey, thank you, Senator Johnson, for being on the show.
And
we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, Charles.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Senator Karen Johnson of Mesa on the show this morning. Our telephone number is 602-277-KFNX. You can be a part of our program and express your views about this issue. I will say this. that you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist. This is what is very troubling about the editorial writing from the Arizona Republic. You do not have to be any sort of a conspiracy theorist to understand there is something very, very wrong with the official story of 9/11. And I'll give you three examples. No more, just because they're ones that occur to me. The FBI put out a memo in the activities around the Massawi trial that Flight 77 passenger Barbara Olson, you know, the television commentator, whose husband was the United States Solicitor General Ted Olson, the FBI put out a memo around the vicinity of the Massawi trial that Barbara Olson did not use her cell phone to call her husband. She did not use the phone to call her husband. And he claimed that she called twice and they spoke both times. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this shouldn't be a matter of speculation. Your phone records, my cell phone records, accurately reflect my long-distance calls, the time and the duration. And theirs do as well, so somebody is lying. But then the Barbara Olson story changed that she was trying to call from the air phone. But if she were trying to call from the air phone, then she would have swiped her credit card. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be demonstrable. It's easy to demonstrate this. Let's have some clarity. The FBI says she didn't call. Ted Olson propagated the story that she did. Story first broke on CNN, cited Ted Olson, and then he went on in the European press about how he talked to her. FBI said, "Did what's the truth? He's the Solicitor General of the United States. Shouldn't we get the truth about him?" And his wife was an iconic figure in the tragedy. So there's just, I mean, it's just one little story. Then how about a bigger story? How about the actual commissioners and staff members of the 9/11 Commission saying that the Pentagon story about what they did on 2001's on that day in 2001 has been part, may have been part, they wrote, of a deliberate effort to mislead the commission. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't Senator Johnson talking. It's not some fringed out whack job in camouflage living somewhere in the high desert. It's here's the story in the Washington Post. Some staff members and commissioners of the 9/11 panel concluded that the Pentagon's initial story of how it reacted to the 2001 terrorist attacks may have been part of a deliberate effort to mislead the commission and the public, rather than a reflection of the fog of events of that day, according to sources involved in the debate. Will the government mislead you? Hey, Jessica Lynch? Huh? Pat Tillman? Huh? Now the 9/11 Commission? Suspicion of wrongdoing ran so deep that the 10-member commission, in a secret meeting at the end of its tenure in 2004, debated referring the matter to the Justice Department for criminal investigation. Staff members and some commissioners thought that emails and other evidence provided enough probable cause to believe that the military and aviation officials violated the law by making false statements to Congress and the commission, hoping to hide the bungled response to the hijackings, the sources said. Let me give it to you, not from the Washington Post. Here's from Thomas Kane, one of the chairmen of the commission, co-chairman. "We to this day don't know why NORAD told us what they told us. It was just so far from the truth. It's one of those loose ends that never got tied up." Here is John Farmer in the Washington Post story. Former New Jersey Attorney General led the staff inquiry into the events. He said, "I was shocked at how different the truth was from the way it was described. The tapes told a radically different story from what we had been told and the public for years. This isn't just spin. This is not true." John Lehman, a Republican commissioner member and a former Navy secretary, said in a recent interview that he believed the panel may have been lied to. That's even more recently, this whole torture business. What about the torture tapes? Why were the torture tapes destroyed? Once again, Thomas Kane, Lee Hamilton, co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission. Max Cleland, a U.S. senator who resigned from the 9/11 Commission, tells the Boston Globe the investigation is now compromised. Even the FBI director at the time, Louis Freeh, said there are inaccuracies in the commission's report and questions that need answers. Kane and Hamilton accused the CIA of obstructing their investigation What we do know is that government officials decided not to inform a lawfully constituted body created by Congress and the president to investigate one of the greatest tragedies to confront this country. We call that obstruction. That's Cain and Hamilton. They call it obstruction. Somebody's lying to the commission, and the commissioners know it. So don't tell me this is crazy conspiracy stuff. You're out of your gourd. What you're telling me, what the Arizona Republic is saying, and when it says that this material, these representations and these findings and commission reports aren't to be questioned, what they are saying is that we're not capable of being a self-governing nation. Put the authorities in charge and let them do whatever they will. But the 9/11 commissioners themselves say, okay, we got these missing tapes. We have evidence that we asked for that was hidden from us. The CIA has hidden information from us. It looks like a criminal activity to us. Obstruction of justice is what we call it. The 9/11 commissioners and staff members say the Pentagon lied to us. The Bush administration lied to us through the Department of Transportation. The FBI says there was no Barbara Olson phone call to her husband, U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson. He says there was. Where are the phone records? Why can't we just have them and put this whole thing to rest? God, I hate getting off on this thing. 7:52 in the morning. Back to your calls in a minute. 7:56 in the morning on the show. Couple more calls on this, and then we'll open the phones to other stuff after the news at the top of the hour. Back to the phones, though, for Don in Scottsdale. Don, good morning.
Yeah, Charles, you ought to go get married more often. You'd say more things about the right things, you know? I mean, this is just amazing.
Get married more often, huh?
Yeah. one or two times more, you know? What the heck?
I see.
Yeah, this is the greatest station I've ever listened to, except for maybe Coast to Coast. As far as we're saying the right things and saying something true, you know, for example, I think that probably every congressman out there ought to remember they raised their right hand and took a constitutional oath. And if I'm not mistaken, they probably run out a lot of rope, you know, because that's treason. That they
get a rope. Get a rope.
It's what it seems like to me, but... You know, I'm an ex-engineer, and those buildings, there's no way they came down with those two toothpicks hitting them in the sides. There's no possible way you can melt that. I mean, I like Jesse Ventura's analogy when he says, well, you know, you throw a grill out there and leave it on all day, that the steel doesn't, melt on the grill.
Yeah, the steel burns hotter than the jet fuel.
That's just
amazing. Yeah, but it doesn't melt your grill. How funny. Hey, you're right, Don. Thank you very much. Tom and Mesa. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Charles. I just remembered hearing, I remember about a year and a half ago, you talked to a multimillionaire philanthropist.
Yes.
Jimmy, I can't think of his last name.
Yes.
But you had brought up the question of having a citizens commission. And to investigate, you know, to possibly investigate us, and would people put their money into, getting a TV cable station or something to do this? I've heard nothing more than this, but let's face it. There's the people in Washington, D.C., I mean, you know, we're talking about Arlen Specter, the magic bullet man. These people are not going to reopen the commission. There's going to be none of this.
Nothing
is going to happen.
Maybe nothing. And no citizens commission will have subpoena power. But you don't even really need it. We could still get the truth without it.
Well, that and we need somebody to do that. Now, I did hear, and I'm a little afraid, as Barack Obama keeps continuing to get more popular, I'm worried for him. I think he needs to go purchase a head-to-toe bulletproof suit. He was asked 3 weeks ago if he would look into war crimes of the administration, and he said he would. He said it one time, and to me that's a very worrying statement for him personally.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Well, I do remember, the guy, I think it was real estate development money out of Florida. I had him on the show, and he, you know, spent money taking up full-page ads in the New York Times and the Washington Post about questions about things that didn't add up about the 9/11 story. I said, why do you waste your money on that? You could take that time, buy cable time on A&E or one of those Discovery Network, and just buy the time so they could transmit a citizens commission, put the Jersey girls in charge, and you really get to the bottom of this thing once and for all.